and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone is having a magnificent Monday today. Good weekend. Enjoyed ourselves down here in Florida. Hope everyone else had a blessed weekend. Enjoyed that show on Friday. That was a really great show. But yeah, got a lot of wild stuff for you guys today. And how are you doing today, Dad?
I'm doing great, Austin. We've gotten so many compliments already on the show on Friday about the blood of Christ. And, you know, guys, when we do a show like that or when we replay a show like that, it really makes us excited because we get this huge response back. That's probably the best show I've done in a long, long time on radio. So we really appreciate you guys when you support us when we put a show up like that because we're the only ones doing it. That's about as direct as I can be with that. I mean, nobody else does stuff like that on Christian TV, especially with the blood of Christ. Everybody tries to stay away from that topic because they consider it to be too negative. Now, I don't really understand that. A lot of churches have taken songs about the blood of Jesus out of their song, out of the songbooks. They won't even sing about the blood. And until you understand what the blood is and how the blood works and how the blood basically is so incredibly powerful with scalar waves, you don't get it. And that's why without the blood of Christ, without the shedding of blood, according to the book of Hebrews, there is no remission of sins. But so I thank you so much for all the positive feedback and emails we've gotten on that. That is indeed one of my favorite broadcasts of all time. I really, really, really enjoy it. I was on with Hagen on Friday night. I was down in Miami. We were at a Starwood property down there. And it was kind of interesting because I feel like I was the last American in Miami. And I should have brought the U.S. flag back with me when I drove out of that place. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, I only heard a couple people, other than the hotel employees, even speaking English. It was really strange to be like in a Mexican, Central American, you know, country down there. It was very odd to me, Austin. In fact, it was so odd that I don't really have any interest in going back there again. I've just been there. And, but it's in the traffic down there. If you guys live in a big city, you already know it's like a 45 minute drive could take you 2.5 hours. So I ended up having to go from Fort Lauderdale from West Palm down to Miami. And then GPS finally just had enough of 95 and rerouted me and took me all the way over to Highway Interstate 75 and all the way down to Miami that way. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, it's absolutely nuts how they've changed all those interchanges down there. And yes, I did say 75 because it cuts around back through Alligator Alley now and goes back in that area. So it was so out of the way. It was a joke. Yesterday coming home, it was actually quite fast coming up through there, up through 95 to the turnpike, so that was fun. But a couple of years ago, I started telling you guys this, and I found some articles on it now that I want to go ahead and qualify what I said to you, how central banks are secretly buying up the world's corporations. I want to start with that. There's so much breaking news, including this information I'm giving you now. There's going to be an action-packed show today, so you guys grab a seatbelt and buckle down, because this is going to be one of those shows here on the Monday. But this is an interesting article by Hansen. He goes, central banks are secretly buying up the world's corporations. He goes, finance is the new form of warfare. Without the expense of a military overhead and an occupation against unwilling hosts is a complete competition in credit creation to buy foreign resources, real estate, public and privatized structure, bonds, and corporate stock ownership. Who needs an army when you can obtain the usual objective, monetary wealth and asset appropriation, simply by financial means? What he means by that is that the central banks can simply print money and buy whatever they want to buy and buy real assets with fiat currency, with funny money. It's not like they're trading gold in for the asset, they're trading in paper they print. So that's what he's talking about when he talks about this, and this is what they did in Weimar Republic, Germany in the early 1920s, which is why there was such a hatred towards the international banking community in Germany because of what they had done and how they had destroyed the middle and upper class in Germany by seizing all of the assets. We've talked about this so many times. When the U.S. Federal Reserve bought an 80% stake in AIG in September 2008, the unprecedented $85 billion outlay was justified as necessary to bail out the world's largest insurance company. However, today central banks are on a global corporate buying spree, not to bail out bankrupt corporations, but simply as an investment to own everything. This is crazy. Central banks have the power to create national currencies with accounting entries, and they are traditionally very secretive. We are not allowed to peer into their books. It took a major lawsuit by Reuters and a congressional investigation to get the Fed to reveal the $16+ trillion in loans it made to bail out giant banks and corporations after 2008, which they said they didn't know where the money went, by the way. What is it to stop a foreign bank from simply printing its own currency and trading it on the currency market for dollars to be invested in the U.S. stock market or the real estate market? What is it that stops central banks from printing up money competitively in a mad rush to own the world's largest companies, which is what they've done? Apparently not much. Central banks are, for the most part, unregulated, even by their own governments. As the Federal Reserve observes on its website, the Fed is considered an independent central bank because its monetary policy decisions do not have to be approved by the president or anyone else in the executive or legislative branches. It does not receive funding appropriated by the Congress, and the terms of the members of the Board of Governors span multiple presidential and congressional terms. As former Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan said, quite frankly, it does not matter who is the president as far as the Fed is concerned. There are no other agencies that can overrule the action we take. This arrogance and this hubris these guys spout off blows my mind. The central bank's buying spree. That is how independent central banks operate, but evidently not the U.S. central bank that is gambling in the stock market. After extensive quantitative easing, the Fed has $4.5 trillion balance sheet, but this sum is accounted for as being invested conservatively in treasuries and agency debt. Okay, if you want to believe that, which central banks then are investing in stocks. The biggest player turns out to be the People's Bank of China and the Chinese Central Bank, which now the Rothschilds are working in unison with to use the Chinese bank to come in and try to take over the United States. According to an article in USA Today, evidence of equity buying by central banks and other public sector investors has emerged from large-scale survey compiled by the Official Monetary and Financial Institutions Forum, a global research and advisory group. The research publication launched on June 17th in its first comprehensive survey of $29 trillion worth of investments held by 400 public sector institutions. The report focused on investments by 157 central banks, 157 pension funds, and 87 sovereign funds, owning the assets equivalent to 40% of the world's output. Yes, you heard that right. The assets of these 400 public traded investors comprise $13.2 trillion, $9.4 trillion at public pension funds, and $6.5 trillion at sovereign wealth funds. But remember, the Fed alone loaned out $16 trillion, we just mentioned, and they won't tell us what they did with this money. This is what they're doing. They're buying up our stock market. They're buying up the world stock markets. This is who they are. This is what they do. This is what they did with the Weimar Republic. This is who runs the planet. John Rappaport wrote an article today, or over the weekend, it was, does the NSA run the United States government? Is it really the secret presidency of the United States? Well, I can answer one question for John on that. I have not read the entire article yet, but I will say this. Through the Exchange Stability Fund set up in 1934, the federal government has been taken over by the Rothschild banking cartel and its interlocking group of corporations controlled through Goldman Sachs, which is like the president office of Lucifer himself, as far as I'm concerned. If you're going to believe that the devil has a Lucifer, the devil has an office, it's kind of like that one movie Al Pacino did a few years ago. I forgot the name of that movie, Austin, when he was the devil.
Devil's Advocate.
Devil. Do not watch that movie unless it is edited. It is filthy if it's not edited for language and content and nudity. But that movie will shake you up because the devil actually had a Wall Street address, and I believe that address would say Goldman Sachs on the front door. Yes, I'm not being facetious. Yes, it's that bad. Yes, these guys basically run the world. And you got to remember something. Lucifer can't create anything from life. He cannot take life and make it. He cannot take the dust of the earth and breathe life into it. He's not capable of doing that. He never has been capable of that. But he thought he was big enough, you know, had his pants big enough that he could go ahead and take on the Most High God, Yahweh, which he got his butt handed to him for that, to be honest with you. And the craziest thing about this is now he's down here with us, so we're having to deal with him because Adam decided to give over the creation to Lucifer. So we're having to deal with this nonsense that he's put on. But remember, he's already done this once with Genesis chapter 6 when they decided to go ahead and breed with the women on this planet and create these Nephilim. Some people call them supermen. Some people call them men of renown. The Bible has a variety of different names. Some people even refer to them as demigods, and that's where some of the ancient stuff that we hear from the Greek gods came from, the giants, etc. So all of this stuff in these bloodlines are still among us. The Bible is very clear. It says in Genesis chapter 6 they were there before and after the flood, and these guys basically run the planet, and they take God's creation, and they have been working at it diligently for thousands of years to destroy it. That is what this is all about, is destroying everything that God made good, to destroy it. And by the grace of God and God alone, when he sent Jesus to us, he gave us the ability to step away from this mess that they're doing and to put them under our feet as Christians. And so that's why they hate Christians so much. This is why, and I've mentioned this before on shows before, for those of you who aren't familiar with our broadcast, this is why if someone's involved in an alien abduction or a fallen angel abduction, which I would prefer to call it, and they call on the name of Jesus or Yeshua, they're immediately put back in their home and they are left alone because they don't want Yeshua to show up, because they know he's very, very real and they're scared of him. Even the demons know who God is. They know who Yahweh is. They know who Yeshua is, and they tremble at the name. So they're doing the best they can to destroy what they can while their time is short and limited. And that's who these people are controlling the planet. That's who these people are who are controlling Goldman Sachs. That's who these people are who are running these international banking cartels. They're all Luciferians and devil worshipers. In fact, I wanted to share one more thing with you real quick on this opening comment. Mancow, one of the top radio personalities in the world, sent me this a few minutes ago, and he says that breaking news, Trump humiliates Obama after White House cleaning staff finds a secret stash of pot and hashish in the White House in the president's quarters that had Barack Obama's initials on the box. God. I mean, it's unbelievable. And as the article goes on, it says, yet more proof that Obama spent his time in the White House wasting taxpayer money for his salary while he and his wife sat around getting stoned. So I thought I'd open up with that, Austin. What do you think of that article? I'm sure that doesn't surprise you.
No, it doesn't surprise you. I haven't seen that yet. I'm not sure if it's 100% accurate, but it wouldn't surprise me one bit. That guy was a goofball. But it looks like from what I've been reading lately, he's been involved in all types of very sinister things now to try and delegitimize Trump. I got this article in earlier, and they were talking about how there are many fronts in the war to delegitimize Trump right now, and the biggest one they're trying to do is silence the alternative media networks. And we've talked about that repeatedly, how this onslaught is just going more and more aggressive every day. Writing in the New York Post, an individual named Sperry said that Obama is working to establish what will essentially be a shadow government to ensure that Trump's America First agenda is thwarted. He said he is doing this through a network of leftist nonprofits led by what is called Organizing for Action. Normally, you'd expect an organization set up to support a politician and his agenda to close up shop after that candidate leaves office, but not Obama. One of these groups is called Media Matters, and they are an all-left, far-media liberal group that's a watchdog organization run by David Brock that is gearing up to spend millions to wage war on the actual truth. The American people who believe in Trump and support him and the system of government that has held up our country together for more than two centuries. Revealed in this confidential memo, Media Matters' master plan is called Democracy Matters Strategic Plan for Action, and it goes into detail and it involves attacking the alternative media and a relentless attempt to discredit us as right-wing propagandists. The alternative left group pledges, and I quote, this is what it stated in this confidential memo that got leaked. Weaponize our research products to understand and take action against the changing media ecosystem and the extremists seeking to manipulate it, the extremists being us. Key alternative right figures will lose credibility and influence in response to our research and pressure. Also, too, using social media to assault conservative voices and reputations while defending and promoting the government and authoritarianism pushed by the Democratic Party. Now, what's crazy now is Media Matters has already assembled a budget of almost $14 million already to hire 34 people to research Trump supporters in the media and elsewhere and attack them. It goes on to say here, several intelligence insiders have come forward over the past few days to describe a shadow government of Obama holdovers leaking information to derail the Trump presidency, as we saw with Mike Flynn's resignation. This apparently was their big success, as the CIA is colluding with all these shadow groups that it looks like Barack Obama is directly supporting and funding now. only thing I have to say is discrediting the alternative media will not be easy. We're a very, very vigilant group, and a lot of us are patriots, and most of all, a lot of people are starting to wake up to what's really going on. As you just said, Dad, with the Federal Reserve Bank, I think a lot of people are starting to realize, as we've said before, the only way we're going to be able to get this entire thing under control is to get rid of the central bank. When they sit there and blatantly, as you just said with Greenspan, they blatantly tell us they're above the law. They're not held by any constitutional values or principles. They do not have to follow any orders from the presidency. They are literally above the law. And you see that when we tried to audit them. And the first thing we did was find out there was like $3 trillion missing off the first balance sheet. They slammed the books in our face, said, we actually don't think we're going to let you audit us now. Good day to you. Have a fun day. Don't bother us again. And that's what we have going on. And the fact that we've let these guys establish this for over 100 years now without kicking them out, in my opinion, is one of the primary reasons why the United States has become so financially crippled in just under a century, because we've allowed these guys to manipulate and extort us out of cash, tax us into oblivion, allow all this stuff to go under black op budgets and funding the military industrial complex to no ends, as you just said, to fight wars in other countries, to take over other countries' resources and assets, and then install more central banks in those countries. So as we've said before, and it still stands the same, until we can get the Federal Reserve Bank on a leash and control them, there will be no taking back the United States completely at that point. All we can do are small incremental changes in other areas. But as soon as these guys don't like what Trump's doing or don't like what the Patriot Movement's doing, the first thing they're going to do is pull the big giant drain plug and allow this entire economy to go down the toilet, because they've rigged the system so much with the money that they've dumped into it that literally doesn't even exist. When you can create trillions of dollars out of thin air, you have a tendency to be able to control a lot of different things and buy a lot of different assets, as we've seen, Dad. So, yeah, that's the biggest thing we can do, is start waking people up with the central banks and try and do the best we can to get these guys under control.
Well, I've got a confession to make. Since they're exposing the media, the alternative media, I've got to confess. I've got to come clean with this. Something happened this weekend in Miami. I haven't even told Austin about it yet. But I got to tell you guys, I did it. So if you hear that I did this, it's true. So I want to tell you guys this. I had a cup of coffee on Saturday morning. And I had another cup of coffee on Sunday morning before I drove home. And I did it. I really did. I drank coffee for the first time since last summer in Montana. And got the jitters from it, cost myself two good nights sleep, woke up both nights at 3 o'clock in the morning, unable to go back to sleep again because of the cortisol. So if you hear that I drank two cups of coffee and you're just absolutely shocked by that, you're absolutely being told the truth. I had two cups of coffee, but I asked for no refills, though they refilled my cup, but I didn't touch it the second time. And so if they tell you that I did that, it's true, Austin. I thought I better have confession time with Ted today. You know, and I'll be honest with you. I'll be honest. Every once in a while, I may eat an organic donut. I've done that too in my life. You know, now I don't do the Krispy Kreme stuff because I just can't justify it. Something deep fat fried in who knows what. But I might have an organic donut that's been fried in something that's healthy. But that's, they're hard, few and far behind, few and far between. So I had one of those about 5 years ago. So you hear about that. That is true too. Now, if they tell you that I've eaten pork, it was not done intentionally, because I have not eaten pork in years and years and years. That unless somebody gave me something that I didn't know about, I don't do that. So anyhow, so those are my big confessions for the weekend also. I thought in case the listeners found out, I'd let them know. And by the way, let me share something with you real quick about these central banks that Austin was talking about. If you go back in the book of Ruth, which is in the Old Testament, right? It's not part of the Torah, because the Torah is the five first books of Levitical law. That's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. In the book of Ruth, the book of Ruth calls out a subset of the Jewish people that we basically are Satanists. They're the ones who worship Baal or Moloch, and they practice both human sacrifice and cannibalism. And these guys are the same ones that I've talked about repeatedly that have been around since the fallen angels, who used these old ritual sites like Stonehenge to sacrifice human beings. What I believe happened in the Old Testament, I believe the angels came down and pretty much built Atlantis. That's what I believe. Now, if you think I'm wrong, that's okay. It could be a little further back than that. I don't have to, I'm not gonna stake any money on this deal, right? This is what I believe. This is the possibility, let me put it that way. And then when the flood came, this thing was destroyed, split apart. All of the pyramids they had built all over the planet to control the energy field basically were disassembled or taken offline, so to speak, because the meridians underneath them were moved. So they would no longer function. And then they used these worship sites to continue to do their satanic worship to feed these interdimensional entities, these demons, these fallen angels. And these druids, if you want to call them that, they went all the way back to Nimrod, and they went into the Old Testament. They were also in Egypt. They were the old Satan worshipers, the old fallen angel worshipers. And in fact, these current group of people that are trying to run the planet, who or pretty much do run the planet, actually, they're called the Benign Nephilim. That's what they call themselves, the Sons of the Fallen. They trace their lineage all the way back to Nimrod. And so, but we're not under their feet, though. That's why they dislike Christians so much, because we've been given authority over them because of the blood of Christ. Now, what's interesting about this is the same group of people who infiltrated the Jewish church in the New Testament. These are the same ones that Jesus called their father was Lucifer. These are the same ones that are called the synagogue of Satan. These are the same. This is the same group all the way through, all the way up in the Khazarias, to the Druids, all the way up into the 1600s with Sabbatane Levi. Same group in the shadows, doing the sacrifices, drinking the blood, killing the children, the whole bit. You can read about it. You can read all about this in the Old Testament. Constantly killing children. Constantly passing the children to the fire, all of this stuff, all of it. They've been doing it since the beginning, since they were taught how to do this by the fallen ones. So the whole thing about it is this, guys. We've got to understand Genesis chapter 6. And if we don't understand what the Bible says about this stuff, then you fall into that ancient alien trap that the aliens came here and they put us on this planet, but nobody ever covers where did the aliens come from. And all of this nonsense that you read about the fallen angels that they call the aliens. And so you got to get your head wrapped around this from a scriptural standpoint for any of it to make any sense. And finally, God had enough of it, sent his son. That's why I mentioned many times when the angels showed up at the birth of Jesus, they said, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, because now they were going to make it. So we were no longer at enmity against God. We were no longer at any battle against God. He had forgiven us through the blood of the Lamb. And now this is what he did for us, which is incredible. He actually did this. And this is the only thing that makes any sense. Otherwise, none of it makes any sense. Because, this whole thing just seems too weird. But if you look at it from that perspective, it makes sense, all of it, with the fallen angels, the entities, all of this stuff, Atlantis, the flood, the destruction of all of this stuff. This is what's happening. But remember, this is a subset. This is the synagogue of Satan. This is a group of people. These are the Druidic worshipers that have been around for thousands and thousands of years. They were also in Egypt. And a lot of the children of Israel were taught to follow these entities, these demons, this worship system they had for 400 years while they were in captivity in Egypt. And that's why, and I mentioned this before on the show, when Moses went up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments to separate God's people, when he came back down to the group of people that had left Egypt, millions of them actually, they were down there dancing and having a big orgy around the golden calf. And, God had enough of it, Moses had enough of it, and a bunch of them ended up getting killed right there on the spot. The guys have to understand something. These same group of nutbags that are doing that kind of stuff are still doing it. They're still having their orgies. I can tell you right now, I know a national talk show, international best-selling author, speaker, one of the top guys up. I will never mention the name because I don't do that, but I can prove this. This is not hearsay on my part, who after his seminars gives tickets into the audience for the women there to join him and his wife in a big, giant, massive orgy in his penthouse suite. And I'm not making this stuff up. And, it's so funny. The other day I spoke to a national radio talk show host about this individual. And he goes, are you sure about that? And I said, yep, I'm as positive as I can be. And so he called a few of his friends who knew this guy. And sure enough, these friends had been invited to one of his orgies. Not making it up. That's why the New Testament tells us to avoid orgies. Because remember the Roman Empire, they were all about their orgies and their hedonism and their sickness and what you would call their pervertedness. And of course we know that the Babylonian parties that the Rothschilds used to have, in which the movie Eyes Wide Shut talked about in detail, that this goes on. This goes on today because this is one of their forms of worship. So it's interesting when you watch all of this stuff and you start learning about all this stuff, it starts making the Bible more of a real book to you. And so you understand a lot more of what he talks about when this is going on. Go ahead, what's your next story, Austin? I don't want to hog the whole show.
Well, no, and go on to further than that, what we see now is we keep talking about this, about the AI that's slowly getting implemented, the media, that all this stuff is slowly starting to allow to come into the market with the biometric payments, with the autonomous cars. All this stuff is slowly getting normalized to where you think, oh, we need these AI machines. We need autonomous vehicles. God forbid we operate a vehicle on our own. You know, and we've only been doing it for over 100 plus years with motor vehicles and thousands of years with animals. So why could we possibly continue to do that without AI's help? And a lot of these guys, these globalists, as you said, that's what they want to do, is intermingle the two together, integrate the cyborg with the human mind and push these two together. And it just, I mean, proving my point, Elon Musk, the founder of Tesla, the Tesla car that you hear about that's driving autonomous, the guy died down here in Florida in last year, Tesla, and the founder of SpaceX, Elon Musk, recently said that humans must become cyborgs and establish a direct connection with machines if they want to avoid being obsolete. Musk warnings was made at the World Government Summit in the UAE earlier this month. The Tesla's founder's argument is centered on the idea that while humans have limited processing power, technology, machines and robots have virtually unlimited potential, and computers can examine, process, transfer massive amounts of information at a time, something that human beings are not biologically capable of doing. The entire problem that he's missing right there is machines do not have a soul. Human beings have a soul, and that directly ties us to God, and that is something that they can never create, replicate, or try and induce in a cyborg, is a soul. So that is the big key that he's missing there, even though he wants to integrate us into cyborgs, as Dad and I have talked about numerous times. That's the goal, and Elon Musk just confirmed that. The founder of SpaceX and Tesla couldn't get any more clear that that's the globalist agenda now, Dad, when you start having big names like this drop these bombs on everybody. But again, the mainstream media doesn't want to cover it. They only want to talk about every single word that Trump says and try and discredit any comment that he makes by saying, that's not true, that's not a fact check, this and that, like they did this weekend after his speech on Friday. So, yeah, that's what's going on now. They want to introduce us into cyborgs. It's out in the open, and they're blatantly open about it now.
Well, because Lucifer can't manufacture life, but he can build a machine.
Yep.
And I've said that 100 times on the show. And this is why they're using the barium and the aluminum and all of these different minerals to tie us into a grid network of energy fields. This is why they allow this barium to be used by our body and incorporated into our nerves in the place of copper to allow us to, you know, become part of the integrated system. That's what this whole thing's about. And this is why I've done entire shows on this. So, you know, this is probably one of the reasons that a lot of these volcanoes are being unleashed on us, because they can easily start volcanoes up with their heart equipment. They can always do that. And, you know, it puts a lot of chemicals and mercury into the air when they do all of that stuff. They're doing everything they possibly can to undermine human beings. That's the whole thing they're trying to do. They're trying to do a transhumanism thing. And see what's happened is Trump has come in. And I was so proud of Melania yesterday or the other day when he was in Melbourne. They had like 9,000-10,000 people there. And she opened up the rally with a absolutely perfect performance and prayer of the Lord's Prayer, which is Jesus' prayer that he gave us, you know, to read. And I was so impressed. This is the first lady I have ever seen in my entire life that actually prayed and ask, you know, and prayed the Lord's Prayer at a rally. I mean, I was so just overwhelmed by it. I really didn't know what to say. So I sent out the link to a whole bunch of my people that I knew. And I have one lady who is a friend of one of my best friends, and she's very, very liberal. And what she did was she tore into this prayer. Now, this lady is supposed to be raised as a Catholic, okay, but she's half Jewish, so I'm not sure which part was coming out on this. And she actually said when she saw the prayer, and this lady's like 50 years old, she called it Trem Shaman. And she said that she, this is what her quotes were, that Mussolini, Hitler, and Stalin and others mastered on that. And what that means is that if you look it up in Wikipedia, it means that she was intentionally humiliated by Donald Trump by asking her to do something that would shame her publicly. Now, you already know that set me off into just a frenzy when she said that, because that's not even true. That is not even true. But that's the liberal mindset, that she was intentionally shamed by her husband, like it was an embarrassment to her. And I speak German, so I knew what that meant. And so I immediately text her back. I'm reading you right now. I said, I thought she did a great job. But then she sends me this frowny face, all bright red, like she's having a hysterical fit, right? And I said, there's nothing to be embarrassed about reading the Lord's Prayer. Jesus gave us that prayer. Melania speaks 5 languages, and some of these languages are better than the others. And she goes, it's not about religion. It's about how they're using her for Fremdschämen. Again, she goes right back to that again, which is nonsense. Speaking language is not a qualification, okay? And I said, hey, at least she did her best, and I am proud of her. And she went on to go say, I'm glad you are. As a woman, I think she's very awkward, and that she's not qualified to be in this position. I mean, I can't even believe this. I'm reading you what I'm reading right here off my texts. And she will not be the first unqualified first lady. History will not be on her side. And I just said back to her, I thought, this is just going to go sideways. I said, history is a fickle master. That's my final comment to her. And see, the thing about it is that, no. See, here's number one. We got a first lady who speaks all these languages. She's the prettiest first lady I've ever seen, period. I mean, just bar none, just put a sock in it. She's the first prettiest one I've ever seen. And, you know, and she's got a sweet personality. She's incredibly supportive of Donald, and she's doing the best she can not having English as her primary language. Now, guys, listen to me for a second. I speak German pretty doggone good. I mean, Harrison's been over there, and you know, Austin's with me in Germany, and I can pretty much go anywhere I need to go and talk the language. But it's not my first language as far as my best language. Now, I learned it first before I learned English, so I still speak a lot of it. But the reality is I speak English much better. So if I was to read the Lord's Prayer in German, I would do a pretty good job of it, but it wouldn't be perfect as far as my dialect and my accent. But if I did the best I could, it would still be the best I could. And why in the world do these liberals think they can come in and tear into a woman for praying? For praying. But again, listen to this. These people are really being led by their master Lucifer, who's blinded their hearts and their minds, and they don't see the truth. They simply don't see it. And quite frankly, it's sad to me, Austin, that people would actually take pot shots at Melania for praying. I mean, I still am amazed at that. What do you think?
Well, I mean, it's very similar to what, you know, it talked about with Moses in Egypt when it said, you know, the Pharaohs, he hardened his heart. And that's, you know, it seems what a lot of these liberals have done now, where it doesn't matter. You could literally have a video of Melania Trump going out with bags and bags of food and handing them to poor starving kids in Africa and teaching them how to plant food over there and giving them non-GMO seeds and digging a well and helping them have fresh water. And they would still have a negative context to it. They'd be like, oh no, she's doing it to try and appease the media because she feels guilty of what her husband does. They have some just absolutely off-the-wall, moronic comment that made no sense to anybody but themselves and other liberals, and they try and spew that. Just like over the weekend, you know, when he was in Melbourne, Trump brought up the fact, he said, you see what's happening in Sweden, the riots they're having in Sweden, the burning cars, the rapes, the knifings, this, all the different just unbelievable just stuff that's going on over there right now. And he said, Sweden, who would believe this? They took in large numbers of refugees. They're having problems like they never thought possible. Now, of course, the media isn't going to do any type of positive coverage on what Trump does. So the alternative, or the left, the full left, has been in a delusional frenzy over the weekend. I saw some of that on CNN and some of the other places about his comment that he made in there. And pretty much they were so quick to move in their typical mode of complete denial that there's nothing going on in Sweden. What are you talking about? Sweden's fantastic. It's great. It's perfect. There's no Muslims there. There's no crime. There's just nothing going on there. And U.S. Defense Watch posted up an article today. I thought it was just wild. And he said, according to Gatestone Institute, 40 years now after Swedish Parliament unanimously decided to change the formerly homogenous Sweden into a multicultural country, violent crime has increased over 300% and rapes by 1,500%. Sweden is now number 2 on the list of rape countries in the world, surpassed only by Lesotho and Southern Africa, that has thousands of rapes that aren't even documented every week now because it's so uncontrolled. That's only second to that country, Sweden is. That's how bad it's gotten over there. And then he literally produces a page just from 2 months of last year of literally rape, assault, knifing, beating, knifing, beating. I mean, page after page after page. I don't even want to go through all this. I don't have time on the show. Yet it's funny, with all the crimes taking place because of the massive Muslim invasion in Sweden, the left are completely just will not address it at all. Even the Swedish foreign minister got on Twitter yesterday, Carl Bildt, and said, to Trump's response, said, Sweden? Terrorist? What has he been smoking? These questions make no sense. Other Swedes went on Twitter and used hashtag last night in Sweden, posting pictures of reindeer, food, and people assembled at IKEA furniture stores, completely and totally obfuscating the truth of what's going on. And as you just said, that's exactly what this entire liberal agenda is doing, and it ties right back in to the $14 million budget that Obama has basically helped these guys get with these leftist media that are going to directly start attacking Trump and the right alternative media. Because they've known over the last 30 to 40 years that has been their biggest tool at brainwashing the American population. If you keep telling the American population, the dumb ones that listen to the media, the sky's not blue, it's purple. The sky's not blue, it's purple. It's not blue, it's purple. And you tell them that 100 times, eventually the idiots that listen to this mindless propaganda are going to start believing you. And that's what these guys are betting on right now. That's why they're continuing to push this absolutely moronic propaganda that doesn't even make any sense. There's no truth to it. There's no facts to it. There's facts right in front of your eyes, but they just look around and say, that's not happening. That's not what's happening here. Not happening at all. Melania Trump, she did that out of shame. She put the Lord's Prayer because she was shamed into doing it. I don't even know where people like this come up with their ideology, but they really need to go to another place besides the United States, because this type of thinking is not going to do anything but bring this country down further into the hole that we've already gotten into from this thinking that's been going on for the last 25 to 30 years now, Dad.
You're absolutely right. I was having breakfast at the Tallahassee Four Points by Sheraton up there for a football game last year. And there were two guys there who were touring around the United States who wanted to see a college football game who had been there the night before. It was on Sunday morning. We were having breakfast. And it was interesting because these guys were from Sweden. And I started asking them questions about the rapes and what was going on in Sweden. And they were like, oh, you can't believe any of that. Totally politically correct. They were not. I mean, the same thing happened to me last summer when we were up in Lake Glacier National Park. When these couples, we were asking them about the raping and the stuff going on in Germany with the Muslims. They said, oh, that's not happening in Germany. None of that is true. And finally, I got one of the guys alone in the bus. I told you this story. And he goes, yeah, he said, all that's true. He says, I don't know what in the world my friends are smoking, but this is all true. Everything you said is true. We're just told when we leave the country not to talk about this stuff. And, you know, we're not supposed to tell people about it because it'll affect tourism in Germany. And I'm like, well, this is just a problem. I mean, when we were in Germany a few years ago, when we were at the Christmas markets, I remember my wife and my daughter wanted to walk to one of the Christmas markets. And the guy at the front desk goes, no, don't do that. And he goes, why? He goes, don't do that. And I said, well, why? And he goes, well, we got a problem with the Muslims around here. You got to be careful. Don't do that. And he spoke perfect English. And I said, I don't want to, normally I'm not supposed to say this. And I said, don't quote me on having said this. He goes, but this is not okay. It was in Cologne. He goes, this is not okay. You don't want to do this. He goes, this is going to be bad. And he goes, I don't want your wife and your daughter going out by themselves, you know, when it's dark. Not at all, period. And I'm like, gosh, to a Christmas market? And he goes, yeah. He said, take a taxi to the market. They got a lot of guards there, but don't walk. He said, it's not safe. And I thought to myself, I've been coming to Europe now since 1977 with my dad, and I've never been told that. And of course, the year before that is the year we almost got mugged in the doggone car when we were in Berlin. So I told you guys that story too. So this stuff that you read about is very, very real, and these guys are not supposed to talk about it. By the way, Assembly passes landmark bill to seal 800,000 pot convictions, giving people a second chance. Praise God. This is out of New York. One of the first things they did right. At a time when freedom seems to be under siege from all sides, cannabis decriminalization provides a thread of hope. Lawmakers in several states and even federal governments are coming to their senses about the necessity of cannabis freedom, and in some cases are applying rationality retroactively. The state of New York, which allows medical cannabis, has decriminalized possession of small amounts for recreational use, is set to seal the records of those who've been convicted of simple possession of cannabis. Unbelievable. I love this. The New York State Assembly on February the 14th, 2017, voted for a bill that would seal the criminal records of people who have been unconstitutionally arrested for simple possession of a plant. The vote was 95 in favor and 38 opposed. Over the last 20 years, more than 800,000 New Yorkers have been arrested for simple possession of marijuana. Those convicted face significant barriers to accessing education, employment, housing opportunities, and other state services. Now, guys, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say this very, very clearly. Children should not use cannabis at all because of what it does to brain development. If a person is 25 years old and they want to sit around the rest of their life being a stoner, I could absolutely care less. I could care less what they do. They're not out robbing banks. They get the munchies and they want to eat. They're going to grow some breasts if they're guys because of the gynecomastia, whatever. Their testosterone is going to be completely dragged down because it's antagonistic with estrogen. It's going to be pulled way down. They're going to be very docile. They're not going to be hostile. They're not going to be out fighting. They're not going to be doing road rage. Who cares? Now, I don't like the legalization of drugs, but putting people in jail for pot, I mean, extensive sentences, are you kidding me? Now, if they're caught with 500 pounds of pot and they're trying to distribute it to children, okay, that's different. That's completely different. Or even if they're trying to give pot to children and their adults, that's different. But just having recreational use as an adult, who cares? Whatever, man, who cares? And I'm sorry if that offends some of you guys who are Christians, but I'm not gonna say anything else about that, because it's like saying alcohol shouldn't be legal. Hey, look, every once in a while I'll have a beer, all right? I don't care. They tried to prohibit beer one time too in the United States with the prohibition. And let me tell you why that really happened. This is very important that you guys understand why that whole suffrage thing happened. The women's suffrage thing was funded by Henry Ford and by the Rockefellers. And what they wanted to do is they wanted to work together to get rid of backyard stills. Because at that point in time, it was the Rockefellers, not Henry Ford. The Rockefellers, you guys, look this up, verify this. The Rockefellers wanted complete and total domination of the petrochemical industry. And Henry Ford was building cars that would run on either alcohol or gasoline. This is just a fact. And when they ran out of gasoline, if they were at some farmer out in the middle of the country, and that farmer had a still, they could buy some liquor or some alcohol from him, pour it in their car, it would run just fine. Well, the Rockefellers wanted none of that. So they helped fund the suffrage movement for the United States for the women to get help pass the prohibition to get to get all stopped. And then, of course, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms decided to go berserkoid. And if you got caught with a still, you end up going to prison. And they stopped all of these people from producing their own alcohol, which then gave Rockefeller a complete and total monopoly over petrochemical production as far as gasoline for cars. And by that time, they stopped producing the dual-fuel cars. And so it was repealed. That's one of the primary reasons that we had prohibition in the United States. Guys don't understand that, and plus it made a huge boom for the illegal importation of liquor through the mobs, through the mafia, and made a lot of people very, very wealthy. So, guys, that's one of the background stories that you're not going to hear on mainstream media of why we had prohibition to start with. Again, it's these bankers, because remember, the Rothschilds were bankrolling the Rockefellers, something everybody needs to know. What's your next story, Oz?
No, you're absolutely right about it. I'm glad you brought that up, because a lot of people get confused and they don't really know the truth about that entire story with that. And also, too, as you just said, what it allowed is a lot of the mobs that the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, all these boys were in cahoots with, also, too, with some of the other drugs that they were starting to manufacture at the time, like morphine, to bring in even more money with the illegal underground alcohol manufacturing, was what they were doing with it. so it made, and it also too massively brought in the prison industrial complex and completely exploded that at the same time, if you look that up, because you had literally thousands of people all over the country getting arrested every single day for simple possession of alcohol or possession of a still or possession of unregistered alcohol like moonshine. That happened all the time. So it completely started this giant brouhaha in the United States for no reason at all. And I'm very libertarian about my stance on that. If you want to go engage in that type of behavior, as long as you're not operating a vehicle and as long as you're not endangering my family or anybody else's family, I really don't care what you do with it. Now, when you start putting a burden on society and you start having DUIs and you start killing people with it, then you obviously need to be behind bars, because you can't function civilly in a society and you can't drive around drunk killing people. That's just not acceptable. The problem is with pot is there's very little aggressive side effects that ever occur with that whatsoever. And when you start having 800,000 people arrested in New York over the last decade or what because of simple pot possession, are you kidding me? Almost 1 million people arrested because of the possession of a plant that will grow in your backyard if you throw seeds to it out there. And like, I'm with Dad. I'm not advocating the usage of it for recreational usage. I really don't think it's something you need to engage in at all. Medicinal purposes, a lot of times there's different ways they can get the oil and stuff out now that don't even have any psychoactive properties to it. And it can yield really good positive effects, but they're trying to ban that in a lot of different states too and not even allow you to have the CBD oil. But the strange thing about this whole thing with pot is it was all built on a lie, again, to bring in the war on drugs, again, to make it illegal for you to have drugs so only the CIA could fund it in with the drug cartels and the mafia, so they would have a monopoly on the drugs and in turn would be able to make the pharmaceutical companies extremely wealthy. Because guys, think about it. Do your math on this. For every single illegal compound, a scheduled one compound that's on the street, that would be your cocaine, your heroin, your methamphetamines, all that, they have a legal pharmaceutical replication of it that you could get with a prescription very easily in most cases. Cocaine, you have Adderall. That's a four-salt amphetamine salt. In some cases, people that I've talked to that have had ADD in that prescription in college that have used both, they've said that the Adderall is actually a stronger, more lasting high than cocaine. You have the same thing with Ritalin and methamphetamines. You have the same thing with synthetic THC that the pharmaceutical companies sell. You have the same thing with Xanax. You have the same thing with morphine. You have all these different things. So what they basically come in and said, you can't do those drugs unless you want to buy them from us. If you get a prescription, you buy them from us, and you pay our astronomical prices, we'll let you get addicted to them. You can get as many as you want, and you can stay on them as long as you want and ruin your body, but you have to buy them through us. You buy them on the black market, that's illegal. You go to prison. So it's pretty much a lose-lose for everybody. If you want to engage in that behavior, you go to prison if you get caught. If you want to go the pharmaceutical route, you get their drugs, you ruin your body, and you get, you're on pharmaceuticals. So this is just something that has been a complete and total lie from the beginning with the war on drugs and trying to force people to submit to not using a compound that they want to use simply because you deem it illegal, like cannabis that grows in your backyard. Now, other harsher drugs like methamphetamines and stuff like that, I would never suggest those being legalized. But here's the thing, guys. If a teenage kid is buying pot right now illegally, which in almost every state, pretty much every state that I know of, it's under 21, it's illegal to buy. In any state that it's illegal, it's still illegal for anybody to possess it. So it's illegal, illegal, illegal from any standpoint. But if a 15-year-old kid wants to be an idiot and wants to engage in that behavior, he can still go buy it. It's just illegal. If they make it legal and you have to be 21 to buy it, he can still have somebody go buy it like he wants for beer. If they make it under 18, he can still go buy it regardless. If somebody wants to get a hold of a controlled scheduled one substance, they're going to get a hold of it. There's a black market for all this stuff. So sitting there allowing the government to come in and dictate what you can and can't put in your body under the guise of if you do it, you go to prison for years on end is a complete and total authoritarian nightmare lie that we've been peddled to by the United States government into believing that they know what's best for us and that they know what's healthy for us and that they tell us what to do and we have to listen or else we go to prison. That's what this whole thing comes down to, is submission of power to the government. You do what they tell you to do. You don't do what they tell you not to do or else you go to prison. Because the truth is, if they actually cared about our health, they control the EPA. They control the FDA. They control control the pharmaceutical companies. They control the vaccine manufacturers and repeal that 1986 Act. They do all that stuff that they actually cared about our health, but it has nothing to do with violence, nothing to do with health, nothing to do with life, nothing to do with any of it except to cause submission and demand as much money as possible off everybody from the prison industrial complex. So that's the real truth if you guys want to know when it comes down to the whole war on drugs, Dad.
I couldn't have said any better. Funds of CIA black ops. But one other thing about cannabis, it's hemp. Hemp used to be one of the primary products of the colonies. They made hemp makes the best rope you can possibly use other than nylon. In fact, some people say it's better than nylon rope. It makes some of the best clothing, durable clothing. In fact, it was a huge export from the colonies, you know, back hundreds of years ago, and nobody had a problem if people decided to smoke the hemp. You know, but the whole thing about it is that, guys, it's just, you know, we can't be legislating morality. I'm more of a libertarian in that aspect. You guys know that I'm a Christian. I don't do drugs. I mean, my big spree is going a day without fiber, you know. You know, and I mean, I just don't do that. You know, or I'll have a beer when a relative comes over or whatever once or twice a year, maybe once a year. I mean, that's about it. I mean, I don't really do all that stuff. So to me, when people say, well, you shouldn't do it, I'm already like, I already don't do that. So you can't legislate morality. You can't do it. It's like you can't force somebody to become a Christian. But hemp is a huge, huge, huge commodity. I mean, it can make some of the best, most long-lasting clothing and ropes, textiles. It's an amazing product, and it should be re-legalized and be able to be grown in the United States as a cash crop. It's, you know, for the hemp itself and for what it can be done. By the way, Jay Sekulow, now, you know, he works a lot with Pat Robertson with the Christian News Network. He said that Obama, he's an attorney, that Obama should be held accountable for the soft coup against Trump. I agree with him. This is from Zero Hedge. According to civil rights expert and prominent First Amendment Supreme Court lawyer Jay Sekulow, what the agency did by leaking the Trump administration information was not only illegal, but almost becomes a soft coup. One which was spurred by the last-minute rule change by Obama, who intentionally made it far easier for leaks to propagate and next to impossible to catch those responsible for the leaks. He did this by allowing them to use all NSA documentation through all of the research agencies and spread all the stuff through all of them with virtually no control. That's how he did it, one of his last executive orders. There was a sea change here at the NSA with an order that came from President Obama 17 days before he left office, where he allowed the NSA, who used to control the data, it now goes to 16 other agencies, and that just festered this whole leaking situation. Trump needs to get rid of that executive order and make that not happen anymore. And it happened on the way out as the president was leaving office. This change that the president put in place, signed off, by the way, by James Clapper on December the 15th, signed off by Loretta Lynch, the attorney general, they decided that now 16 agencies can get raw data. And what that does, it almost creates a shadow government. That almost creates a shadow government. It feeds the shadow government. You have all these people who are not agreeing with president's positions, so it just festers more leaks. He is absolutely right. We've talked about that several weeks ago on the show and what has caused so much of this mess. Guys, I want to thank you so much for listening to the show. Thank you so much for all of your great emails. Thank you so much for your prayers. I really appreciate the praying. The praying to me means so much. It just, gosh, it means so much. Thank you that you're getting your multiple vitamins from us, and that your B complex and your vitamin C and your D3 and your potassium iodine and all the other things you get from us. Thank you. I thank you for the support. I love you guys. I want to thank you so much for listening again today. I mean, it's just so exciting for me and Austin to see our numbers going up and up and up and up on the show, and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger because we're telling you the truth. And we're telling it to you from a Christian standpoint with kind of a libertarian twist. In other words, you know the things that you're supposed to do, kind of need to do them, and all the other things that you know you're not supposed to do, but you kind of do, that's kind of your constitutional right. That's kind of what we told you today. And so it's one of those deals. We got to do the best we can. If we fall short, then God's there for us, and His grace is sufficient for us. I love you guys. I appreciate you. And again, I want to thank you for supporting us and being here and listening to us. And I'm going to go ahead and write up the summary of the show today. God bless you guys. Austin, go ahead and close.
I got it. Yeah, and another story I wanted to address here with, you know, RFK Jr. I talked about last week with what he's doing with that $100,000 challenge. He's very outspoken about mercury the toxic effects of vaccines. Well, it's crazy. Again, you have another article here from the New York Post that absolutely is a total hatchet job on him, just completely trying to eviscerate and discredit him, and again, has zero facts, zero research whatsoever supporting that mercury is safe in the body. All it tries to do is bring up random things that, you know, pretty much has no basis at all. So when they know there's something that they can't argue with, all they try and do is discredit it by talking basically garbage about it. Now, what's wild here is this is how it starts out. This is the title of it. Everyone needs to ignore RFK's Jr.'s misinformed anti-vaccine claims. That's the title of it. Starts off, it's by, what's the idiot that wrote this? Andrea Pizer. It's got to be one of the stupidest writers I've ever read. I can't believe she's in the New York Post. That makes sense why she's there. Anyways, she goes, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is on his soapbox again. I implore everyone to ignore him. His message could be hazardous to your health. The lawyer, environmentalist, and leading anti-vax crackpot who has compared widespread inoculations to the Holocaust through a news conference Wednesday, issuing the $100,000 challenge. And then she goes on to just completely talk about how he doesn't know what he's talking about with this, he doesn't know what he's talking about with that. Zero facts. Then goes on to say, and measles, which has claimed almost 500 American lives annually before it's considered eradicated in 2000, has returned. First off, I want to see the numbers that measles takes 500 American lives annually. And secondly, do you really think, I mean, when you start looking at it, 500 people have supposedly died from measles. Well, let's look at all the kids that have had autism and brain disorders and died and have significant ailments going through the rest of their life because of the MMR vaccine. Let's see those numbers because nobody wants to bring those up. Then it goes on and she does this random comment with no, just total speculation. She goes, and I've also been told a person absorbs more mercury and other toxins by walking the streets of, say, New York City than from any vaccines combined. I don't know what world she lives in. I really don't. I know New York's pretty toxic with the pollution. Some other cities are too. But to sit there and come up with an erroneous fact like that and saying that 250 micrograms of mercury injected intramuscularly into your body for a flu vaccine annually, you absorb more toxins by walking down the street in one day in New York City. I don't know what she's coming up with. But here's at the very end of the article, this is what she says. And this is always the liberal approach. They demand you do what they say or else they basically consider you a blithering idiot. That's how they imply. You're a moron. If you don't do exactly what we tell you, regardless of how stupid it is, don't listen. You have to listen. Rejecting the gospel is the best way to achieve good health. Do it. That's what she says in here. So guys, do your research. Don't listen to crackpots like this who wants to write about people that are actually trying to make an effort to get the vaccine industry under control, guys. You need anything, email us, call us, healthmasters.com. We're always here Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 Eastern Standard Time, 1-800-726-1834. Check out the website that you get on the free newsletter, healthmasters.com. You guys have a safe, blessed night. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow.